Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do not know how many of you have read or heard from the internet that 39 people were killed in the shopping center in Nairobi, Kenya. Whenever we go to Nairobi, that is one of the places that we would visit. When I look at the pictures, I recognize the background of some of these places, and in some of these pictures you have dead bodies in front. What Pastor prayed for is very real. Thank God for the peace that we have. Do not take it for granted. It can be taken away from us at any time. You have also heard of the problems in our daughter church in Calvary Tonga BPC. 18 years of blessed peace shattered within 2 years. The church is now split and divided, and we have to go there to help. Peace in our generation, it could be a battle in the next generation. Will the sons continue the fight? God willing, in November, end of this November this year, I will be going down to Kenya, Nairobi, to teach at the Bible College. And probably we will also visit that shopping center. God willing, it will be safe by the time. It was really pretty carefully secured. Every time we went there, there will be guards outside to check the cars, check the vehicles. But yesterday afternoon, their time, 12 noon, they came in. 10 of them are still inside. They are still fighting with the forces. And the man who is in charge of the mortuary said, the bodies are coming in. They have Americans, or they have whites, they have blacks, and they have Asians. Muslims, they let go. Everyone else, they kill. That's what they say in the internet. Children were killed as well. 5 years old, 6 years old. This is the world that we are living in. The world is battling all kinds of forces in the physical realm. We call them terrorists. They call themselves freedom fighters. In the spiritual realm, do not think that this world is at peace. The battle, the fighting is far more fierce than you could ever imagine. In the realm of the physical, what are they fighting for? Land, property, freedom perhaps in their own estimation. But for us, in the spiritual realm, will the sons continue to fight? What are they fighting for? Souls, men, women, and children. Will they end up in hell, or will they end up in heaven? That's where the battle is, and that's what we are fighting for. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the testimony of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ, people will die in their sin, and they will end up in hell for eternity. Hell is a place where there is fiery furnace that will burn without end. And there is no escape. Everyone who ends up there will remain there for eternity. And then from hell, they will end up in the lake of fire, a place of great torment, as the Bible reveals to us. That's where Satan and all his demons and all those who follow him will end up. And he wants as many as possible to join him there. And that is where the fight is, dearly beloved. Do not be so contented with your own spiritual well-being. Do not be satisfied that in our generation we have a church that we can learn from God's word. We have a church that is satisfying our souls, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if the Lord tarries and he does not return in our generation, what will happen to the next? And the next generation will be the younger ones today. How many of our younger generation, those who are attending YF and YAF, How many of them will remain 20, 30 years down the road? Because in 30 years' time, many of us will not be around. Isn't it true? We have to admit this. This is reality. But will Calvary Pandan BP Church remain faithful and true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? We can pray for it. We want to pray for it. We have been praying for it. But there is also the human responsibility where the younger generations will have to rise up and do their part and make sure that in their generation, when they become fathers, mothers, grandparents, their sons, their grandsons will also have the gospel of Jesus Christ and a place where they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we are considering this morning. And I hope that all of us at the end of this service will ask ourselves one simple question. Am I doing my part to make sure that our sons will continue the fight? As parents, you know what I mean. Our sons will be your children, including the children of every member of Calvary Pandan BP Church. Will they continue the fight? The long list of many churches from many denominations that have fallen by the wayside, too long to itemize. Even within our own BP circles, the list is also pretty long. Mother Church, Live BPC has fallen. They have already begun to believe the Bible has mistakes. You just watch and wait and see what happens. They are going to soon replace the King James Bible, because once the Bible has mistakes, why would they use only the King James Version Bible? Any Bible would do, because all Bibles have mistakes according to their theology. That's what they are very, very free to tell anyone who joined the church. You call them up, you talk to the pastor, and the pastor will tell you that. One of our members, before they became a member, shared with us. They were looking for a BP church closer to their home, and so they call up the pastor of Live BP Church, Reverend Charles Seed, and Charles Seed told him, this church believes that the Bible has mistakes. They are not ashamed, they tell you. This is the falling away. Will our sons continue the fight as they see sister churches falling one by one? The mountain churches fallen long ago, when they threw away the King James Bible and replaced it with the New International Version. Today, they worship with contemporary Christian music. They have band, they have drums. They encourage their people when they go to universities. In their own churches, they support parachurch groups, such as the Navigators. And they are all part of the World Council of Churches. And when a church encouraged their members to join parachurch groups that are official members of the World Council of Churches, even though they themselves may not be official members, by their support of these parachurch groups, they are supporting the World Council of Churches. Will this church one day become such? We may point fingers today, but very soon, if we are not careful, we will be pointing fingers at ourselves. Please do not think that Calvary Pandan BPC is anything special from any other church. We are no different. Those who have been to Turkey, they visited the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. We have been to Greece. We went to Thessalonica. We went to Corinth. We went to Philippi to look at the churches that are described in the New Testament, where it was so vibrant once upon a time. When you read about the church in Philippi, they loved the Apostle Paul so much. There were people there. There were people like us, giving their offerings, praying, worshipping together, listening to God's word. But there was one generation, and that's all you need, one generation that did not do its part. These churches that we study and we love to study in the New Testament books, they don't exist anymore. We go there as tourists to look at empty sites. Building doesn't even exist, only stones on the ground, broken. We go there, we take pictures of ruins. That's how the guide described it. These are ruins. Imagine the ruins physically and spiritually. Will this place, this building that we now use to worship in, to sing all these hymns, one day become a restaurant? Become a place where the name of Jesus Christ is only uttered but never believed in? What was the problem in Israel? They had experienced a conquest that was so great, never before and never ever again in the history of Israel. God enabled them to defeat the entire land of promise, filled with nations of the nations of the nations. By the power of God, God removed them within 6 to 7 years of good battle. And it was not a battle where cities were burned, homes were destroyed, fields of wheat and corn and vineyards were razed to the ground. God makes sure that that does not happen, because if the land of promise was razed to the ground, how could Israel occupy and call it a land flowing with milk and honey? God mentioned to us that, Israel, you will occupy the land of promise not within a year, because that would be to devastate the land, but over a period of 6 to 7 years, so that after the conquest, and God makes sure that the battles were all outside the homes, outside of the cities, so that at the end of it, you have entire cities vacant, empty. You have thousands of homes spread throughout the land of and breadth of Israel, all emptied and all furnished. You have wheat fields, you have all kinds of fields all ready for Israel to occupy, a land and houses and cities that they never lifted one finger to build. You can now live. That was Israel's experience in the days of Joshua, the elders, and his generation. It was a good conquest. And after the conquest, all Israel needed to do was to tidy up whatever residual forces that remained in their respective lots. Each and every tribe was assigned a particular portion of the land of promise. If you are not an Israelite, you're not part of the 12 tribes, you will not be given any land. Israel, Israelites, were the only occupiers and owners of the land. And if you come in as a mixed group of slaves, and many of them came out of Egypt together with Israel, they are called a mixed multitude. They will only be servants. They will be well cared for, but they can never be landlords. The landlords belong only to Israel. And the 13th tribe, the tribe of Levi, they will not occupy any land. They will not do any physical work to keep body and soul together. They must be students of God's word so that they could be teachers of God's word. And so the priests and the Levites were to do spiritual work, and the other 12 tribes will do the physical labor. And then whatever God blessed the land with, the people will harvest, and the people will learn to give of their tithe and their offering to God's people, to God's servants. And then they will study God's word, and they will teach them the laws of the Levites. They will teach them how they can restore their fellowship and their relationship with God through all the different kinds of offerings. They do not have the Bible the way that you and I have, carried with them everywhere they go. The Bible at the time was handwritten. And so it will take years to write and complete books of the Bible. And so they will be given only to the Levites and the priests to study them, to guard them, to protect them, and to teach them, of course. Now this was how Israel was meant to be. Now you watch. Verse 6 to verse 7 describing for us the danger. And we have to watch this danger too. Because of this danger that Israel found herself in, that caused Israel to stumble. Now watch. And when Joshua had let the people go, so after he had assigned the lots, each and every one of them, now you go to your land that God has given to you, they drew lots. And God was the one who chose. Alright, the Danites, you are positioned on this part. Judah, Benjamin, Asher, Manasseh, Ephraim, every tribe was assigned a particular portion. You take charge of your portion. Whatever residue of enemies that you might have within your lot, deal with them. The children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. Now that is not the problem. That is the danger. Now you have the land. They have never been landlords before, mind you. They've always been slaves. Those who were born in the wilderness, they may not be slaves in Egypt because they were born in the wilderness, but neither have they been landlords because they lived a nomadic life. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And so now suddenly after the assignment of the lots, every family in Israel have now suddenly become landlords. Now there are shepherds owning their own shepherd's field. When you wake up early in the morning, you lie down in your bed and you look up, you are now living in sealed houses where all this while you're living in tents under the stars. And now this home is now my house. And then when you open your front door and you look in front of you, as far as the eyes could see, this is my home, my land. And now if I were to work hard in the land, I'm not going to work hard and the crops of my hard labor is given to my master, it's going to be given to me. It will be a brand new experience that they have never had before. Now that's where the danger lies. Because God also warned Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. When you entered into the promised land, living in sealed houses, when you are going to be landlords, that is the time when you are most prone to forget me. Don't you forget God. That's why I call this danger. Now they have their own land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Joshua lived up to the age of 110, the Bible tells us in verse 8. And they had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So the danger was this. They now have a luxurious life. The danger was one of complacency. The second aspect of the danger was lack of conviction. They follow God's word and they obey God's will and they behave themselves very well as long as Joshua was alive, as long as the elders who outlived Joshua were alive. That means they obey and they behave themselves for the sake of men. They did it to please Joshua. They did it because the elders whom they also honored were still alive. But the moment they are dead and gone, something happened. That's the danger. When our generation, when Joshua's generation obeyed the word of God, not out of conviction, but to please Joshua, to please men. Joshua never asked them to please him. He didn't have to. When people please men that they honor, they respect, they just did it on their own. The person didn't ask them to, the person doesn't want them to, but the people still did it. When Joshua asked them to obey God's word, Joshua said it from his heart. Joshua warned them. Joshua preached to them. His sermon, you study the book of Joshua. He warned them, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. What about you? You have to make your own decision. As for me and my house, we want to follow the Lord. He could not live for every family in Israel. He knew that. Persons who are highly respected and regarded and never ask anyone to put them on an idol, to put them up on a pedestal and treat them as an idol. But people tend to do that. People tend to want those who are above them, whom they respect, to look at them and think well of them. That is the danger, that is the problem, isn't it? You think that is not real and not a problem in our church? When I first came to Calvary Pandan, I observed one thing. That was 20 plus years ago. We used to have our prayer meeting behind in the AV studio when the numbers were smaller. And there were times when I attended the prayer meeting, there were only about 40, 50 people. But whenever senior pastor came and conduct a prayer meeting, the number doubled. When he is not around, the number halved. He never asked these people to do that. He wanted everyone to come because they love the Lord and they love to pray. But there were those who come just to let pastors see them. Perhaps they want pastors to think that they are spiritual, that they come for prayer meeting. You think that is not our problem? You think it is not happening today still? That is the wickedness of man's heart. We like people to think well of us. We like people whom we admire to think well of us. That is our problem. If we are not careful, that danger will destroy us. The danger will destroy this church. We come to Pandan, we come to church because of conviction. Why do you think the Apostle Paul told the Christians in Philippi, "It is good that you obey God's word in my presence, but more so in my absence, you must also obey God's word"? Because once you obey God's word in the absence of the Apostle Paul, then it becomes a conviction. You do what is right, not because to please mom and dad. You come to church. You come to church because of mom and dad, because now you are young, you have no choice, so that when you become an adult, you now have the independence to come or not to come, but you still come. Or some of us are already reasoning in our own hearts. I come because mom and dad says I have to. But when they are gone, or when I'm all alone, when they send me overseas, I will do what I want. That's the problem, not conviction. They allow all kinds of carnal reasons to lure their hearts away. Conviction is important. You must believe in Jesus Christ because He is your Lord and your Savior, not your mom, not your dad. Why do people come for fellowship groups? Why do people come for midweek prayer meeting? Why do people don't come? Why do people come for sunset? Why do some of them do not come? You ask yourself in your own heart, your convictions, there are repercussions. Please understand this. And conviction cannot be given from man to man. That's why Joshua asked them, "As for me and my house, you got to choose. You got to have your own." As the head of his own house, Joshua wanted his own family to follow the Lord. The Apostle Paul understood this. Have your own conviction. Obey God's word, not to please me, not only in my presence, but more so. More so means do it even more in my absence. In Paul's absence, never in the absence of God. God knows. That is the danger. And if you and I are not here this morning because of conviction, that I want to be with fellow like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, because I am a child of God, and I believe that this church is a church whereby I can worship the Lord. This is a church whereby I can truly grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through fellowship, through study of God's word, where I can give up my offering and I know that it will not be abused, where I can truly trust and invite my friends, my loved ones to come, knowing that they too, hearing the gospel, will also be genuinely born again. You are convicted that whether privately or publicly, it's the same person. You are not two-faced. You are not a hypocrite. Conviction. Whether I'm in church or not, whether I'm outside the church, it's the same me. I will be conservative in my dressing, in my thinking, in everything I do. Conviction. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Born again in Christ Jesus. Jesus is truly my Lord and my Savior. Conviction. And once you have that conviction, the next generation will be fine. But if it is not conviction, we are in trouble. Because once the generation passes, just as the generation of Joshua and the elders leave the scene, a new generation arose. Now look at verse 8 to verse 10. What was the problem with this new generation? "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all their generation were gathered unto their fathers," that is Joshua's generation, "and there arose another generation after them," that is after that generation is gone, now you have a new generation of leaders. We are not talking about boys now. We are talking about a new generation of leaders, men, "which knew not the Lord." What was the problem? When it was not one of conviction, it now became one of rejection. No conviction, you reject. Because you will now replace God with something or someone else. Please do not say that Joshua had failed. I know in 2 Timothy 2:2, the Bible taught us that all that you have learned from me, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, pass it on to faithful men who in turn will teach others also. Please do not say that Joshua had failed because he did not find another Joshua to take his place. That command was for the church. That command was not meant for Joshua in the nation of Israel. The reason is simply this. In the case of Moses, God had to replace Moses with Joshua because Moses did not end well. Moses failed God. Moses sinned against God, and the last part of his ministry that disqualified him from entering the promised land as the leader. And God punished him by forbidding him to enter the promised land. He had no excuse. That's why in the closing chapters of Deuteronomy, the Bible said that Moses' eyes were not dim and his health was still there. Then why didn't you lead Israel into the promised land, Moses? If your eyes were not dim, your bodily function was still strong and healthy. He had to reply and say, I have sinned against God and I was disqualified by God. And so God had to finish the conquest of the promised land, the Exodus, with a new leader, none other than Joshua. But after the conquest, after Joshua did good, God did not ask Joshua to find another leader. The reason was because Israel from now onwards will be ruled under God. God was king. It will be a theocracy. God will now rule Israel. God will now fight for Israel. God gave this instruction to Israel in Deuteronomy 28 as well as in Leviticus chapter 26. You obey my word, these are the blessings that will come. You disobey my word, these are the curses that will come. So God will be the king of Israel. And who will be the hands and legs of the Lord? The Levites and the priests. Spread throughout 48 Levitical cities, they are the students and teachers of God's holy and perfect word. And so with the instruction of the word of God, teaching Israel how to be holy, how to bear a godly witness, Israel was under God's rule as a theocracy, be a witness to the world that was in spiritual darkness. Of course, later on, in the time of Samuel, the theocracy will be replaced by the monarchy. When they say, we do not want God to be king, we want a man to be our king. But God warned them through Samuel, you sure you want a man? That man is not like me. He has no army. He doesn't have my power, my omnipotent power. So he will have an army to fight for him. Now where will he get his army? He's going to take your sons. And then he's going to feed his army. Now where is he going to find the bakers? He's going to take your daughters. You sure you want this kind of lifestyle? You want a man to be your king when I am your king? And because it is a theocracy, Joshua was not meant to find a human successor. Because if Joshua were to find a human successor, that would be a sin. Do you know why? Now, what are you going to call that human successor? You're going to call him governor? You can't call him a king because God was king. You can't give him any human title because God never gave any instruction for any human title. Every tribe is to look after their own piece or own portion of the land of promise. What was the problem? Now, they said, the Bible said, they knew not the Lord. Now, what does that mean, they knew not the Lord? Has they forgotten the name of the Lord? No. They still use the name Jehovah. Jehovah still came out of their mouth. So what was the meaning of this phrase, they knew not the Lord? The clue is found in Judges chapter 17, verse 1 to verse 5. The book of Judges is a wonderful book. From chapter 17 onwards, the Bible will record two behaviors and conducts that will give us a very good perspective, a spiritual perspective of the spirituality or lack of it in Israel. Two homes. And both these incidents came about because of two Levites. So the failure that led to the period of Judges were none other than the failures of the priests and the Levites. Now, Judges 17, verse 1 to verse 5. Now, please watch. This is a record of a typical Jewish home. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, his name was Micah. Micah or Micah means, who is Jehovah? So it's a good name. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. So in other words, the son stole from the mother 1,100 shekels of silver. And so when the mother gave that curse, the son heard it, the son got scared, and so now the son confessed his sins to the mother. And then he said, I took it, mom. And then the mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. So did they forget the name Jehovah? No. Now how could the mother bless the son? The word blessed describes someone who has personal relationship with Jehovah. So when she used the word of blessed, she's basically telling Micah, it's okay. It's alright, you stole, it's alright. God bless you. You notice this? You notice the spiritual standard? They are warped. They never forgot the name. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly, wholly means completely all the amount, dedicated the silver unto the Lord. Still use the name Jehovah. From my hand for my son, to make a graven image. You notice this? As far as they were concerned, honoring the Lord, Jehovah, means making a graven image. So they'll take the money that the son returned to mother and make a graven image, believing that this will bring honor and glory to Jehovah, and a molten image as well. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. And yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took only 200, not the entire 1,100, and gave them to the founder, who make therefore a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods. So he has an entire house in his home, dedicated to idols, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his own sons, who became his priest. So now you have a household priest, a personal priest. How can you have a personal priest? Who is the only one in the Bible who can appoint a human being and call him a priest? A priest means someone who is holy. No man can just simply go around and call another man holy. Now you have been reading, the Roman Catholic Church is now having a lot of big changes. This new pope is making a lot of changes. And end of this year, they are going to make two dead popes into a saint. A church has no power. No human being has power. Only God alone has power. Because God alone is inherently holy. Our holiness comes from God. God gives out holiness. That's why God is the only one who can appoint priests. Aaron, they will be my priests. Levites, you are sister priests. Only God could do that. Now imagine, Micah, he did that. He appointed one of his own sons. So that means Micah was not a young man. His sons must be grown up, isn't it? So he must be in his 40s or 50s at least, to have grown up son whom he can appoint as his own personal priest. Did they know God? God said they did not know him, but they did not forget his name. They have a household full of gods and calling them Jehovah, Yahweh. And the man of God had a house of God, and the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim so that the son can dress up as if he is his own personal household priest. And in those days, there was no king in Israel. And every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's the meaning of this phrase. They knew not the Lord. You and I may use the name Jesus Christ. You and I may speak the name Jesus Christ. You may even aim your prayer in Jesus' name. But the question is, do you know him? Do you really know him as your Lord and as your Savior? Or he's just something that you mouth as if he is no different from open sesame? Like Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. You all know Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. Now you all play computer games. You don't read all these old myths and legends. Right? Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. Behind that cave, the spoils of the 40 Thieves. Alibaba hid. And then the leader of the 40 thieves shouted the word, "Open sesame!" And the door of the cave would open, avail him to all the spoils or treasures of his looting. And then after they left, Ali Baba came. Ali Baba also shouted the same words, "Open sesame!" And the door opened, and he could avail himself to all the loot of the 40 thieves. And you think the name Jesus Christ is a name where anybody can utter? And God is supposed to open the windows of heaven and pour down His blessings to you? You think that is the name of Jesus Christ? Do you really know Him? There arose another generation that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. Did they forget? They had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the book of Joshua with them. Of course, not all 66 books. But they did have these 6 books, the perfect Word of God to lead them and to guide them. All that they needed, God had given to them that they might be a holy nation. A people of God, a people that the rest of the world could look at and supposed to see Christ and find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you test whether you really know Jesus Christ. Otherwise, this phrase, "they knew not the Lord," will be applied to us. It is not just a name. You know the name Jesus Christ is used by the Mormons. Their definition of Jesus Christ is not of the scriptures. They believe that Jesus Christ is a small son of God, and He became the capital S, Son of God, only after His death and His resurrection. They also use Jesus Christ. So do the Seventh-day Adventists. So do the Roman Catholics. So do the Charismatics. So do the Modernists. So do those who belong to the ecumenical movement. So do the New Evangelicals. Those who like to compromise. They all use the name Jesus Christ. Many cults, Christian cults, use the name Jesus Christ. But do they know the Lord Jesus Christ? They do not know Him. Did the generation after Joshua know the Lord Jesus Christ? Know the Lord? No, they did not. The Bible said so. Did the name Jehovah, was it forgotten? No, it was not forgotten. They still mouthed it. They still said it. They said it continuously throughout the 350 years of the period of Judges. You study this throughout. All the judges, one after the next, one after the other. By just simply saying, "I'm a Christian," does not make you a Christian. So how do I know your life? When the Word of God is obeyed, when the Word of God is not lived out in your life, you're just paying God lip service. God is not mocked. God despises hypocrites. They are abominable to Him because they bring shame to the name of Christ. It is better not to call ourselves Christians in the eyes of God than to call ourselves Christians so that when you say, "I bear the name of Christ in my life," because that's what it means to call yourself Christian. But then when people study your life and they look at your life, they don't see anything resembling the Christ of the scriptures. You smoke, you gamble, you drink alcohol, you go to places that will bring shame to the name of Christ, and yet you call yourself Christians. Your conduct, your behavior, not following the Bible. You're not interested in the Bible. You don't even study the Bible. We had an elder who dared to tell people, "I am not interested in theology." Theology means the study of God. Now, what kind of Christian would say, "I don't want to know my Father. I don't want to know my Heavenly Father. I don't want to know Him." Now, what kind of Christian, what kind of children would ever say something like this? Would your own son and daughter say that to you and you don't feel it? We are not talking about an elder from another church, we are talking about our own. So please do not think and take for granted and presume that all is well with my soul if it is not well. Because if you think that it is well and it is not well, you are in more trouble than you imagine. You know that coming to church does not make you a Christian. You know that giving tithe and offering does not make you a Christian. You know that singing those hymns will not make you a Christian. You and I know that serving in the leadership, be a pastor, be an elder, all these things will not make us a Christian. Because if by doing these things can make us a Christian, by doing these things will help me to become a Christian, then salvation is by works. And that becomes another gospel, which is not the gospel of the Bible. Sure, we do all these things because we are already Christians. How do I know? Because in my own heart of hearts, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I study His Word daily, every day. And when I study His Word, I pray that God will give me the heart that will obey every jot and tittle of God's Word. And whenever I stumble and fall, I want to get rid of my sin immediately. I do not want to justify my sin. I want to live a holy life. I want people to see Christ in me, the way that I live, the way that I eat, the way that I dress, everything about me. I want the world to see Christ in me. That is the heart of someone who knows Jesus Christ. That was Joshua's heart. All he wanted to do was to do God's will. You know that he took his entire lifetime to earn the title, the servant of the Lord, as the Bible described him here. The servant of the Lord in verse 8. You know that he took his entire lifetime to earn this title? When God first introduced us to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he was called, "You are the minister of Moses. Moses is my minister. He earned it. What about you, Joshua? You're about to start your own. Can I call you servant of the Lord, Joshua?" God said, "No. You are only servant of Moses." But at the end of his life, the last few verses of the chapter of Joshua, the book of Joshua, and the introduction here, he finally earned the title, the servant of the Lord. When God called him, not you call yourself, not other men calls you. They mean nothing. It must be God. And God looks at your life. God looks at your heart. And God says, "He is my child. He is my servant." It must come from the Lord. Know the danger, lack of conviction. Know the rejection, because lack of conviction will soon result in rejection, as what we can see here. Please don't think that it will not happen. It has already happened. How many of us have rejected Christ when we love the world? You go out into the world and the world is dazzled. They're sparkling gold and silver and all the worldly things before your blurry eyes, your starry eyes. And how your heart is now torn. And you allow the attractions of the world to lure your heart away. And then your coming to church, your service unto the Lord are just there to soothe a conscience. That's all. And some of us just simply go through the motion. I don't understand how and why you would want to do that. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You know that if you truly have done that, death has no more sway over your life. If you were to die right now in this very moment, you are now straight away in the presence of God Almighty. What have you got to be afraid of? You have everything to live for in Christ. Why do you want to replace Jesus Christ and live for money? Live for someone or something else? It does not make sense. I don't understand how you could do that and you don't even feel that you have sinned against God. And you don't want to fix it. And you live in the world motivated by money, money and more money. And you still think that it is okay. And yet at the same time call yourself a Christian. Something is wrong, you know that. You have to ask yourself, if I am truly born again, why am I still loving money? Why am I still heaping upon myself all the accolades of the world? You really need that extra dollar? You really don't have enough food for today? That you must have that extra $10 or $1,000 or even $1,000,000? What for? What is it for? All these material things that God has given to us is to help us grow spiritually. Use them to help us grow spiritually. Use them for the extension of God's kingdom. Use them wisely. And pray and ask God to help you and give you a heart to love Him by loving His Word. To give you a heart that will obey Him with all your breath, with all your soul, with every ounce of your energy. Give it and serve the Lord with joy and with gladness. Because I am a Christian. This is the heart and life of someone who know the Lord. They did not know Him. Oh, sure, they mouth His name. I hope you and I are not like that. Because as far as God is concerned, they have already rejected him. And the evidence is the fall. Verse 11 to verse 13. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baalim. Baalim, the idol of the Canaanites. Baal means Lord. It's not a bad word. It simply means master. Baal. It could also mean husband. It's someone who is your master. That's what it means. Someone who sings, speaks, and you obey. It could be money. That's our modern Baal out in the world. Money says, I sing. Money says, jump, I jump. Money says, stop, I stop. I'll do anything for money. You do anything for money, then you have money as your Baal. You do anything for your wife, you do anything for your husband, you do anything for your son, your daughter, then your son and your daughter becomes your Baal. I'll do anything other than God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be Baal. And then, you can rest assured, if this constitutes our heart, Pandan is gone. Pandan is finished. Will the sons continue the fight? They will not. They will reject and they will fall. And they forsook the Lord God, that's the outcome, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Please note the four steps. They forsook, they followed, they bowed, they provoked. Four verbs in one verse to describe what constitutes the fall. It's the same today. They forsook. You have to forsake. How do I forsake the Lord? By not following the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand. So how do I know I've forsaken the Lord, the Bible? Use the Bible as your mirror to see whether you have forsaken not the BP Constitution, not the BP Standard, the Word of God. We are not asking you to use the Constitution of the Church to check your heart. Use the Word of God. But I don't know the Word of God. That's another problem, isn't it? No joy, no interest in the study of God's Word. It doesn't give you the thrill. When I read the God's Word, the Word of God doesn't, I don't understand it. It's okay, never mind. You just let it pass. But any other signs, any other area whereby you do not understand, you want to solve it, because if I don't solve it, I lose my job. And so you'll pour in hours and hours to solve the computer glitch, the computer problem, that science problem, whatever the problem. Why? Because if I don't, I lose my job. But this one I don't understand, never mind. I don't lose my soul. I have a place in heaven. Who promised me that? My pastor promised me that. Remember, your pastor is not God, huh? His promise doesn't hold any water. It's gosong. Or somebody else promised me that. Who is that somebody else? If it is not God, holds no water too. Not even the Pope. He is just a mortal being. In fact, the one who is born again is greater than him, because he is not born again. Forsake the Lord by not knowing God's Word, by not doing God's Word. If you do not know God's Word, ignorance is not bliss. You are still held accountable because you call yourself a Christian. And you have the Bible with you in your hands, but you don't study it, you don't read it, you don't meditate upon it. You answer to the Lord, because you're going to stumble the people around you. Because when they look at your life, you call yourself a Christian, and you live like the world, they think that Christians all look like you, behave like you. Do you know that? Your world, that I am a Christian, they will think Christianity is all about you. And so when they meet another Christian, and then the Christian will share the true gospel with them, they'll say, I don't want to accept Christ because Christians, I know what they are like. And they remember you. Not Christ of the Bible, they remember you. That is your problem. That is our problem. And then when they forsake the Lord, they will now follow other gods. There's no third option. You don't forsake the Lord and follow no other gods. The moment you forsake God, you follow other gods. That's how we are made. You and I will worship someone or something. If it is not the one living and true God, it is something false. Know this about ourselves. And then we will fix it. Because if you don't know this about yourself, you're not going to fix this problem. And then thirdly, you're going to bow yourself to them. That means you're going to serve them. That's what it means. You're going to do what the thing, that person bids. Whatever it is, you're going to surround your life. You're going to change your life just for this person. You know how sad it is, how many parents change their whole life of service, of worship in the church because of their newborn son or daughter. You know how sad that is? They have turned a blessing into a curse. You pray for a son, a daughter. God gave you the son. God gave you the daughter. But instead of drawing closer to God, you have strayed further away from Him. And you allow that child to become your God. And that child has robbed you of the vibrancy that you once had when you were with the Lord, when you served the Lord before you got married or even after you got married. And so now you have turned a blessing into a curse. Because once you are in that state, you can't pray. Because God says, I will not answer the prayers of those who are in sin. And those who know they are in sin and don't get rid of their sin. Psalm 66 verse 18. If you can't pray, what good are you as a child of God? You can't pray for your own child. You can't pray for yourself. You can't pray for your family. Because your prayers never went above the roof of your room. The danger, the rejection, the fall. And then the last part, you think God will not be angry? They provoke the Lord to anger. You know why? Because you are Israel. You bear my name. Israel, Prince of God. But when people look at your life, they see Baal, they see idols. You bear the name of God, and when you malign the name of God, when you misrepresent Him, and people look at you and they die in their sin, they end up in hell. Do you know that? You think God will not be angry? God surely will be angry. They provoke the Lord because they forsook the Lord and they serve Baal, and the consort of Baal is Ashtaroth. Will the sons continue the fight? A lot depends, isn't it? Is it conviction, young people, that you come to church, that you serve? Or will the lures and attractions of the world and the life, the day-to-day life. The Bible in Matthew 13 describes it as the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. Will all these lure you away? Whereby you will fall because you have rejected the Lord. The only way to keep yourself firmly rooted on solid ground is never to reject the Lord. And never to reject the Lord means you never, never stop studying the Bible. And never stop studying the Bible would mean that you never stop obeying all that you learn and study from God's Word. That is the only safeguard, none other. If the Lord tarries, may God be merciful to all of us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, once again, O Lord, we bow humbly before Thy holy presence, acknowledging that but for Your grace and Your mercies, Calvary Pandan, BPC, would be destroyed. We thank Thee, Father, for preserving this church. For we acknowledge that we are far from perfect. We have many shortcomings. We make many mistakes. Forgive us, O Lord. And we pray, Father, You'll be merciful to raise up from within this church a generation of Joshuas who will earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. That what they believe in is truly one of conviction, and not one of man-pleasing, and that they will always study Thy holy word, that they will not reject the Lord Jesus Christ, which in turn will cause them to stumble and to fall. We pray, Father, for the leadership and for the future leaders that Thou will raise up from within this church, that each and every one will have the heart of Christ, that we will do whatever it takes, O Lord, to ensure that Calvary Pandan BPC will be a haven of rest for all those who are Your children who come into this church, that they may find in this church a place where they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And find in this church, for all those who come as unbelievers, a place where they can hear the gospel preached to them unadulterated. And through the sound of the gospel and with the working of Thy Holy Spirit, they will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we see the many signs of the last days. And we see many churches falling by the wayside, one by one after another. We plead and pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt be merciful to Calvary Pandan. For Jesus' sake, save and keep Calvary Pandan, faithful and true to our Savior, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.